coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Worth doing badly.
Hi, I am Jamie Krieger, and it is my pleasure to welcome you back to Worth Doing Badly, our weekly survey of the Bible lessons for each Sunday of the church year. This week we look at the lessons for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. And the readings are Isaiah 66 verses 10 to 14, Psalm 66 verses 1 to 7, Galatians 6 verses 1 to 10 and 14 to 18, and Luke 10 verses 1 to 20. And here is our speaker, David Weber.
Jesus said that his followers participating in his mission of harvesting would be like lambs among wolves. Now, it's interesting that Christ understood this mission of salvation in terms of the metaphorical harvest. And the first thing he says about this harvest is that it begins in prayer to the Lord of the harvest. You know, while Christ's followers would be participants in this harvest, prayer indicates that the work totally depends upon God, because God alone can transform human hearts to desire to be Christ's followers, and then can transform the hearts of followers to desire to be harvesters. So this whole harvest of Jesus is from beginning to end God's work, and God in his mercy and in his grace allows us to be participants in this harvest. From start to finish, it must be seen as God's work, and not something that is imposed upon harvesters. This is something which is given as a gift. And then Jesus elaborates what it is like to enter into this mission. And the thing that he accents is that harvesters experience a radical vulnerability akin to being lambs living among wolves. Now, on the surface, a lamb among wolves promises to be a very short life, and that will come to a very swift and violent conclusion. And then Jesus elaborates on this essential vulnerability. It is utterly necessary that harvesters experience this vulnerability when he tells his disciples to travel light. They are to travel without money, without protection, without food, and without extra clothing. See, if this harvest is to succeed, God is going to need to transform the hearts of others to participate in this harvest by offering free hospitality. The whole harvest depends upon people freely responding to the grace of God, not by coercion, not by manipulation, but freely responding. And this vulnerability is an essential aspect of setting up the conditions for people to offer their hospitality. And because the mission of the harvesters was to speak the truth of Christ's incarnation, rejection was assured. And most assuredly, this rejection would end in woeful consequences. But this vulnerability was necessary because this is a world in which there is reaping and sowing. And a person reaps the corruption that they sow, not in order to assure their destruction, but God uses this as preparation for their hoped for future repentance. You see, God fills the world with harvesters because the time is ripe for people to understand that they have become the slaves of corruption, and to offer them a new and better life. The thing which is interesting is that the harvesters that Jesus sent into the world returned giddy with surprise at their success. Not only did they survive life among the wolves, they flourished there. Their vulnerability was not a liability. It was, in fact, a condition that allowed them to flourish. They were giddy with surprise. And Jesus, in no uncertain term, replied to this enthusiasm by decisively cautioning them not to rejoice in their success, but to remember their place in heaven. Jesus decisively cautioned them to recognize that this promise of heaven would continue to free them to live vulnerably as harvesters, to live in prayer, to live traveling light in this life, while embracing life among the wolves and being continually surprised by the unexpected hospitality that keeps this mission of harvesting going. Now, in the psalm, there is the word awesome is predicated to God's works. So we start off as sheep among wolves. And in that vulnerable condition, the gospel records that the harvesters returned expressing their surprise at the unexpected success. And Jesus immediately cautioned them to remember that their success was, in fact, as the psalm says, one of God's awesome deeds. So it's interesting that Jesus put his disciples in the condition of vulnerability, and it was in that condition of lack and of danger that they were best in position to see and experience God's awesome deeds. While in the condition of vulnerability, being without money and protection, failure seemed to be certain. But then God intervened as creator of the world and continued to supply them. And the psalm says there is a shock when, even though we confess that God is creator, when we actually experience the truth that all the earth bows down to God, and when we experience the truth that God's will is actually done on earth as it is done in heaven, it continues to be the kind of surprise that creates praise and gratitude, not praise and gratitude that's scripted, but a praise and gratitude that expresses the utter surprise that God's way actually work in this world. Isaiah carries this theme of the heart overwhelmed with rejoicing. And this uber rejoicing is not the half-hearted satisfaction that follows when things go as we've planned. Everybody wants things planned. But the thing about planning is when it actually succeeds, which is rare, it isn't very surprising. Isaiah envisions an over-the-top rejoicing that happens when one trusts God's most unlikely to succeed promises that unexpectedly prove to be trustworthy. It's the sort of rejoicing one can imagine if you're a sheep and you discover that in the care of the good shepherd, you not only survive life among the wolves, you flourish there. It is the rejoicing of those who thought that mourning was their permanent condition until they were overwhelmed by new conditions that spontaneously produced praising. It is the rejoicing, Isaiah says, of hungry babies who find their mothers, and this is a quote, glorious teat. And the rejoicing of toddlers who live to adulthood because they have mothers who will continue to comfort them even when they are grown men. God puts us in this vulnerable condition so that we are aware that not only does he have us survive, but we thrive with his presence. Now, we all complain about our vulnerabilities. But the only reason we can complain is that we are alive and we are energetic enough to complain. God sustains the life that he promises. And Isaiah lists reasons to rejoice. And his last reason for rejoicing is that God will make our bones flourish like grass. Now, I have to say, this is a new one. I haven't heard that phrase. It means, I think, that while we live in vulnerability among the wolves, we shall continually and surprisingly be renewed. Even though it looks as if we are slated for a certain and violent death, God sustains us. He continues to renew us like grass. So we offer praise now while worried about our vulnerabilities, because we expect to experience the over-the-top surprise of God fulfilling everything that he promises. May your bones flourish like grass. And finally, this Galatian passage where Paul says, cautions us not to grow weary in doing good. Paul knows harvesting is hard work. And this is why Paul remained fixated on the cross. When Jesus was crucified for us, he shattered the old moral economy that you reap what you sow. And he initiated a new spiritual economy of us reaping the good that he sowed. That's the new harvest, not the old harvest of sowing and reaping the moral harvest. Now there is a new harvest initiated by the cross, in which we become part of this new economy by allowing others to reap the goodness that we have sown. To be sure, doing this kind of good is exhausting, because we are lambs living among wolves, and wolves are tireless at making victims that need us to intervene to restore them by having them experience the good that we give. Paul says it's tiring, and that is why we continually have to go back to the cross, where we were granted the eternal life through the merits of Jesus's death. Now, we are entangled in corruption. That is no surprise for lambs who live among wolves. Corruption is the environment. And corruption is not changed, is not altered by complaining about it. If I become entangled in corruption, I do not get disentangled by endless complaints about corruption. Rather, liberation from corruption is possible only when others make my problem their problem, bearing my burdens, letting me reap the good that they have sown. Especially, this is experienced when they freely do the hard and humble work of teaching the truth about Christ's incarnation. The old economy of reaping and sowing has been destroyed by the cross. And now there is this new economy of others reaping the good that was sown by first Christ and then by those who are followers of Christ.
Thank you, David, and thank you for listening. All the podcasts from this series, Worth Doing Badly, are available from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Try our app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and get the one that is right for you for free. If you have any questions or comments about our program or any other programs on our schedule, write me an email to manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. David and I will be back next week at this same time. Stay on for more here on Lutheran Radio UK.